Welcome to the Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex journalist and a sex blogger, and I've been in love somewhere between 0 and 2 times. I'm not really sure. It's not an exact science. That was a weirdly personal thing to divulge right off the top, now that I think about it. Who are you, friend?
I am Bex. I'm a sex educator and a sex blogger, and I get real grumpy when it comes to feelings.
I mean, it's ironic because grumpiness itself is a feeling.
It's a much more palatable one.
It's just a vicious cycle, because you're like, I can't believe I'm having a feeling. I'm so mad at myself. Wait, shit, no. Damn it.
My final form is a robot.
But I feel like you wouldn't make jokes that are as good if you were a robot. They just wouldn't have that human touch.
Wouldn't I be able to scientifically calculate the ideal joke?
Have you ever heard a robot tell a really funny joke? Ever in your life?
Not on Futurama. Have you ever heard me try and tell a joke? It usually doesn't end well.
I mean, I'm laughing at you, like, all the time, but it's more so just at, like, your general jovial persona and not necessarily jokes. I take your point. Anyway, Valentine's Day. Are you thrilled that it's Valentine's Day?
I completely forgot that Valentine's Day was a thing that existed. Like, I was at work the other day and I was like, God, why is it so busy? Oh, shit. And then, like, literally 3 days later, I made my schedule at my other job. And, everyone was talking about who had Valentine's Day off and not off, and I was like, oh, I have Tuesday off. Is Tuesday a thing? Is that something I should be worried about? I've never celebrated Valentine's Day.
I set up a Skype interview for an article I'm writing with our friend Sarah from marvydarling.com. And aww, it was for Tuesday, and I realized after we'd already set it up, I was like, oh, she has a husband, and, like, that's Valentine's Day, and I should probably check if that's still okay. So I emailed her, and I was like, interview on V-Day, still cool? Because I'm single, and I have been single for what feels like a million thousand million years, so Valentine's Day holds no irrelevancy for me, except as a sex writer, because this is the month when a zillion assignments show up in my inbox and everyone is hounding me, which is fine. That sounded really ranty, but I'm actually very grateful for the work. It's just a stressful month. Anyway, we're still doing the interview on Tuesday because Sarah is a jewel.
Yeah, I never even really celebrated Valentine's Day when I was in a relationship. Like, it has not since, like, elementary school, where I handed out little Power Ranger Valentines, did it even show up as a relevant part of my life.
How did everyone not know you were a boy? Like, that is the most boy thing.
Obviously. And I would pick out my favorite ones, like the cutest ones, to give to the people I had crushes on. Mm-hmm. Always people, plural, because have you met me? So they always got the good ones.
That's adorable. I used to celebrate Valentine's Day, like, kind of when I was in a relationship. Like, we would go out for dinner and get all, like, dressed up and then probably have really excellent sex afterward. But we were both kind of, like, blasé about it. We were like, this stupid Hallmark holiday. But, like, I think I've kind of come around on it to where now I just kind of view it as an invitation to express love and, like, not necessarily romantic love, but think about who I love in my life and who I would like to show that to, including myself. This got really cheesy and motivational.
Yeah, see, I am the kind of person that, like, always does love a good excuse to celebrate pretty much anything.
Yeah, same.
So, like, I might make heart-shaped cookies. Mm-hmm. Just because I want cookies. So really, I'll just use it as a rationalization to, like, buy people things and make cute things just because. But it just, I don't know, Valentine's Day has never been one of those days for me. Mm-hmm. Like, other stuff I'll be like, talk like a pirate day? Excellent! Let's celebrate! Valentine's Day, I'm like, eh.
Yeah, like, International Orgasm Day, I celebrate that shit every fucking year. But, I mean, I'm also celebrating that day most days. So, it's really, it's not that unusual. But, so, today we're talking about romance, which is a very tangled and fraught notion in our culture, and one that I have a lot of feelings and thoughts about. What is romantic to you? How do you define that?
So, like, romance was never, like, a big priority for me, even, like, when you talk about, like, the middle schoolers, like, you know, planning their dream wedding, or, like, you know, whatever, that kind of stuff. That was never me. I was in high school talking to my friend, and I was like, oh, you're gonna find your, like, prince and live happily ever after. I'll live next door and have a bunch of cute humans that, on a rotating schedule, that I hang out with. And no one was surprised when I was Polly. But, like, for me, the stuff that gets me all, like, swoony and, like, oh, that's so romantic, is just usually really simple stuff and the kind of thing that shows that someone was thinking about me and that shows that they know me and understand me. So, Reed Mihalko has this whole theory of cat people and dog people, and dog people want to get told they're a good boy and, you know, be very excited to see you when you're there, which... obviously me, like, but cat people, are, it's more important to them to know that you thought about them when they weren't there, so you come home with a present for them or something like that, and for me, I find that kind of stuff, like, more romantic and touching. Like, my kink stuff wants to be told I'm a good boy and all that kind of thing, but relationship-wise, it's tiny little things that are, like, even just sending me a picture and being like, I saw this and it made me think of you. I'm just like, aww, you remember I exist when I'm not hounding you. That's so sweet.
Was that a dog pun? Hounding?
Yes.
10 out of 10.
What about you?
Yeah, I was actually talking to my therapist about this yesterday. Because I didn't have a lot to talk about, and we got onto the topic of the podcast, and I was like, yeah, we're doing this episode about romance. And I started telling her about how, to me, romance is, like you said, so much about thoughtfulness and showing that the person was thinking about you and pays attention to you and knows you well. And I actually started thinking about all of the examples in my life of times when friends have behaved that way, like, in ways that are traditionally romantic. Like, for example, if I may tell a story that might make me cry on the podcast, which would perhaps be the first time I've cried on the podcast.
Oh, I'm sure it won't be the last.
Oh, certainly. I burst into tears on a very regular basis, but...
Meanwhile, I presume to believe that I can stop myself from crying by sheer eye muscles.
I mean, that's fine. We balance each other out. But when I was in New York visiting you last, I fucked up my public transit on my way back to Toronto and ended up missing my flight. And I have pretty bad anxiety. And I had, like, a full-on anxiety attack at the airport where I was, like, hyperventilating and crying and, like, my brain wasn't working and I couldn't figure out how to book another ticket or even get back to where you were. And you just, like, calmed me down and talked me down and helped me figure out what to do. Bought the ticket for me, gave me directions to get back to your place. And, like, as I was, like, weeping and texting you from the subway, I was like, I'm out of Kleenex. I want more Kleenex. I just want to buy all the Kleenex in the world. And then when I showed up at the subway station where you lived, you were there in your Batman pajama onesie holding a box of Kleenex for me. And, it was really the kind of thing that I, in my darkest moments, fantasize about romantic partners doing for me, because it shows thoughtfulness and devotion and a sensitivity to my needs and my mental illnesses and all the stuff that I struggle with. And I kind of realized in that moment that, like, my idea of romance, you know, you can get that, or I can get that anyway, from my friendships. And when I put too much stock into getting those behaviors back from potential romantic partners or suitors or whatever, I'm really just, like, shortchanging myself, because I can have those experiences and very similar feelings and emotional responses from my friends. The other thing that killed me that you did was when you bought a gift card to the witchy shop I like to go to in New York for the exact value of the exact thing I like to buy there. Like, when you gave it to me, I was so overwhelmed that I burst into tears. Because, again, it was, like, it was such a sweet and thoughtful thing. And, like, I haven't been in, like, a serious relationship for quite a long time, and so people who treat me with that level of revere and respect and love are few and far between, but they're almost exclusively friends in the past few years, which is fine, but I think sometimes I undervalue my friends in favor of romantic partners, and I shouldn't do that, because honestly, like, you did some of the grandest romantic gestures of my life for me, and you're not even a romantic person to me, so hey, I didn't cry, I'm so proud of me.
Yay, go team!
Is it important to you that you have a partner who is a romantic person? Sounds like not really.
No. No. Like, I was just complaining to you earlier that the most annoying thing I have right now that I don't have a local romantic partner that mm-hmm. I see regularly is simply that I don't have someone to do sex science experiments on.
Yeah.
Like, that's my concern. I'm not worried about, like, it's not a priority for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If and when I miss the idea of having a partner, I miss, like, the having someone around that you're just super comfortable with, and mm-hmm. like, you can having semi-regular access to sex and without the stress of, like, ooh, first date, meeting someone new or whatever, because mm-hmm. that's fun, the, like, butterflies and the exciting feelings and stuff, but sometimes it's just, you just want, like, the comfort of someone there.
Yeah.
But I don't have a lot of time in my life, and
and romance takes up a lot of time.
People are complicated. Mm-hmm. So having, like, a primary romantic partner in my life is not a huge priority for me. Mm-hmm. Like, if I trip and fall into that, cool. Like, I was not actively looking for anything when I met my sir, and now he's one of the most important people in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows, something might happen, but meh.
Yeah,
I got other shit to do. Now what about you?
Yeah, I think there's, like, a disconnect between what I want and what I think I want and what I actually want. Because I noticed that, like, a lot of my, like, romantic fantasies are about these sort of, like, movie, like, cinematic romantic grand gestures type of thing. And what I've noticed in my actual dating life is that when people do actually do that stuff, like, it doesn't really affect me in quite the same way that I always expect it will. Like, especially if I'm not 100% into the person. Like, I'm always just kind of, like, rolling my eyes and, like, really? Really? I think that what really matters to me more than that is having a partner who's, like, reliable and reliably there for me and emotionally supportive and consistent. And, like, you know, the romance thing is nice. Like, my boyfriend who I was with for years would occasionally bring me flowers or, like, bring me soup when I was sick and stuff like that. But that was just, like, kind of icing on top of the fact that he was just really consistent and always there for me and always supportive. And that's the stuff that really matters to me.
I've actually never had someone send me flowers or give me flowers.
Is that something that you would want, though? I feel like that's so girly.
Yeah. I mean, don't really care. Like, but it's such an iconic thing. I had someone give me chocolates once.
Mm-hmm.
I was in, like, fourth grade, and he bought me, or presumably his mom, bought me, like, a $40 box of chocolates, like, one of the big heart ones.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and a big Beanie Baby.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this mom must have spent, like, $60 on this kid's third grade crush, and...
That's adorable.
I was very uncomfortable. I did not like this kid.
It's awkward. I always remember my first serious boyfriend, I think on our second or third date, we were going out to like a fancy dinner at a sushi restaurant, and he showed up and he was holding one red rose, mm-hmm. and he gave it to me, and he was like, I thought about buying a bouquet, but I thought one rose is in some ways more beautiful because you really notice its beauty because it's not like competing with other flowers for visual attention or something. He explained it very articulately, but I was like, oh, that's kind of beautiful and poetic. But then also I had to just like carry this rose around with me for the duration of our dinner date, which was a little bit weird, but you know, it's fine.
That sounds like a rationalization of the fact that a bouquet of roses is fucking expensive for something maybe. That's gonna die.
It's true. If he was like a shifty liar, then I might agree with you, but he was actually a really good dude who just was a bit quirky, so I believed his tale.
Yeah, the dude that got me the chocolates looked me up and called me like a year and a half, 2 years later. It was really unsettling. I was like, ooh. Who is this kid? And why is his mother letting him do this? Yeah, it was, like, it was really creepy. And the thing is, like, grand romantic gestures like that, that's the kind of shit you see in movies, like, if we weren't freaking fourth graders. That's the kind of thing you see in movies, like, you know, he gave her a box of chocolates and called like 2 years later and looked her up and found her and it was true love. And like, I feel like what media calls romance is actually kind of terrifying a lot of times. Like, yeah. I would not want to be on the receiving end of most of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. A lot of it is like based in non-consent, or at least consent that has not been sufficiently acquired. Like, I'm thinking of stuff like Twilight or 50 Shades of Grey, which are based on, I mean, 50 Shades is based on Twilight. So it's the same basic, like, relationship dynamic where sometimes the female protagonist says, like, I don't want to see you anymore. And the male love interest shows up at her house or at the place where she works. And it's supposed to be romantic because he's persevering in pursuit of her love or whatever, but it's like, no, like, she told you no, buddy, like, that's a no.
So yeah, there's a lot of things that... Yeah, and it's always, like, we're saying she and he with this, but it is almost always that dynamic.
Yeah. But it's just as creepy any other way.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
And it's based on this premise that, like, if you wear them down enough, eventually they'll love you.
Mm-hmm.
Which, no, don't do that. Don't be that human.
Yeah, like, that's never, ever happened to me in my life. Because, like, the way my attractions work, if it's a no, it's probably a no forever. Like, I can't think of a time when I was actively unattracted to someone and then they turned it around. Like, definitely I've gone from, like, neutral on someone to getting to know them and finding them attractive. But if I was, like, actively, like, nope, not interested, they've never managed to turn it around on me. And, like, I think that these movie narratives create this idea that, like, you can win someone over by just being super romantic and great. But, like, I really don't think our attractions are as malleable as we would perhaps like them to be. And you gotta take a note. You have to take a note. Like, if someone keeps persevering after I've given them a no, it just makes it even a harder no, because they're showing that they have no, like, social boundaries and they can't read the room and they're disrespecting what I've said, and all of those things are gross and bad. Don't do that.
Yeah, I mean, I wound up dating someone once who kind of wore me down, and it didn't end well. Like, same. I was like, I suppose I'll try it, and then I was like, no, definitely still no, not...
I had a friend with benefits in high school for like a year and a half who was this girl who was in love with me, and she was a friend of mine. And when she initially like confessed to being in love with me, we discussed it a lot, and I was like, yeah, I don't feel that way about you. But she was like, we could just be friends with benefits, which in retrospect was like her making a really sad concession, and I wish that I would have just said no. But like, I spoke to so many people I knew and got their advice, and a lot of them were like, why don't you just do it? Like, you got nothing to lose, you know, you'll have some sexual experiences and it'll be good. And she knows what the deal is, so it'll be fine. And she herself was also just like asking me about it all the time and kind of wore me down, like you said. And so I got into this like friendship with benefits, and it was good. Like, for me, it was not like a passionate romantic relationship because I didn't feel that way about her, but ultimately I don't think it was very good for her, like, because it was probably emotional torture. Like, I say this as someone who has had a friend with benefits who I've had romantic feelings for that have not been returned. I know how hard that can be, and I can't imagine how she did it for a year and a half. So it's like, I don't think someone wearing you down is necessarily good for you or them, and it's not a good idea, and it doesn't work. Don't do it.
Yeah, I mean, I've spent a lot of time, too, thinking about, like, what the nature of romantic feelings are.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause, like, so obviously sexual attraction is a thing, and obviously appreciating someone's company and, like, friendship and that sort of thing is a thing. And is romance when you just add those two things together and then you have romantic feelings about someone? Like, what? I mean, that can't be the case because you have asexual people who do have romantic relationships. Like,
right.
So it's, I've never really been able to qualify the difference between, like, you and me are best friends and have one of the strongest friendships I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of the strongest emotional connections or whatever, but that's not romantic.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know, that's something I've always struggled with and kind of found fascinating from, like, an objective outside perspective.
I mean, I think for me, romantic feelings are, there is an element of, like, that friendship thing of, like, I just like this person and I enjoy spending time around them and I have fun with them. And there's also an element of, beyond just craving sex with them, I'll crave other forms of physical intimacy, like kissing and cuddling and stuff like that, which I don't usually experience with just platonic friends. And then I was also thinking, as you were talking about how, like, for me, there is an element of, like, yearning, which I don't really feel with my platonic friends. Like, occasionally, like, if I haven't seen a platonic friend in a long time, I might miss them and have that sensation of missing them. But I don't feel about you the way I've felt about certain crushes, where it's like, it feels like my soul is yearning for that person. And I don't have a less melodramatic way of saying that. But, like, as much as I love and treasure you, I have never, like, craved you desperately, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know exactly what that feeling is, but yeah, that's definitely tied up in romantic feelings for me, and is maybe not strictly healthy, but can't really control it. Whoops.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. Like, I've definitely had, like, that kind of feeling of craving someone during NRE and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And strong feelings about missing people and stuff. But sometimes when people talk about, like, traditional romantic feelings and stuff, and the few times in my life when those feelings have kind of snuck up on me, I feel like my brain just has this, like, fundamental misunderstanding of it. Like, I just, something doesn't click right and I don't get it. And the few times I have felt those kinds of things, like, sneak up on me, I'm like, I've texted you and been like, I have this feeling. What do I do with it? It has appeared. I don't, how do I handle it? Because it's just, and for you, I know that, like, crushy romantic feeling is something you fall into all the time.
Sometimes to my detriment, yes.
Yeah. And for me, like, the crush feeling is very separate from the romantic feeling, and I don't know, it just doesn't always click.
Well, I think, like, part of why these media narratives about love and romance are kind of dangerous is because they package those feelings as, like, something that's only experienced a certain kind of way. And if you don't feel it that way, then it makes you feel broken or, like, you're fundamentally not getting something that's, like, vital to the human experience, and that's not good. Like, it makes us feel shitty about ourselves. And, like, I know that I have felt that way about the whole idea of romantic sex, which is just a thing that I've just never ever gotten. And I have friends who have,
like,
been
making love.
Exactly. Like, I have friends who have been super in love with their partners who have told me, like, I have reached this new level of a different type of sex that I've never had before because I'm super in love with my partner and it's connected and it's intimate, blah, blah, blah. And to me, I don't know if it's a kink thing or perhaps an anxiety thing, because I have anxiety about eye contact during sex and, like, having my face be too close to someone's face during sex and stuff like that.
Fuck eye gazing, bro.
Yeah.
Nah.
But I have just, even when I was super in love with my long-term partner and we were having, like, some of the best sex of my life and I felt so safe and comfortable with him and just completely in love with him, I never experienced sex as a romantic thing. I really liked animalistic sex, and I still do, like getting fucked really hard from behind. When he was doing stuff to me, I would often have my eyes closed. I wouldn't necessarily be thinking about someone else, but I was fantasizing generally and also focusing on the feelings and not necessarily completely focusing on the physical person I was with. And, like, my partner would describe to me how he loved missionary sex because it made him feel so intimate and so closely connected to me emotionally, and I was just kind of there like, okay, cool, yeah, totally know what you're talking about, and totally didn't, like, I just didn't feel that way about sex ever. Like, quite often I would feel romantic towards him afterward when we were cuddling and hanging out, or just at other times when we were, like, out together or just spending time together, but, like, during sex, it's just not something I feel, and it's always made me feel a little bit broken, like, especially when I have boyfriends who are, like, way into that type of sex and are just like, I want to fuck you in missionary and gaze into your eyes and make love to you, and I'm like, no, can you just, like, pound me with a piece of steel, please? Like, I would prefer that. That would get me
off
better.
In on and around my orifices.
Yeah, you're stressing me out with all this eye gazing, bro.
Yeah.
What about kissing, though? Because kissing's, like, a pretty big thing in romantic narratives. Have you ever had, like, one of those, like, movie romantic kisses?
Not really. I mean, I've had, like, hot kisses, I guess, but... And I just really love making out, but nothing that I'd consider romantic or, like, cinematic or anything like that.
Yeah. There's a lot of pressure, I think, for especially, like, first kisses to feel really cinematic and dramatic and everything. And they often don't. Like, they could be a little awkward. Like, my first ever kiss, our noses crashed into each other, and then we tried again, and our foreheads crashed into each other, and then we tried again, and it finally worked, but it was, like, there were not fireworks in the traditional sense. Like, I liked her very much, but it was not a magical kiss, because, like, kissing and sex and everything, they're not effortless. Like, movies want you to believe that they are, but they are not.
My first kiss was while watching Indiana Jones, so.
I feel like that explains a lot about you.
It probably does.
The one, like, really romantic kiss I've had was with my, like, long-term ex, and I took him to the place where my very, very first kiss had taken place, which was, like, a spin-the-bottle kiss. It was not a real kiss. And it was, like, on this playground in a nearby elementary school. And I was showing my boyfriend, who was, like, fairly newly my boyfriend. I was like, yeah, this is where my first kiss happened, but it wasn't very good, and I, like, told him the story. And then he kind of just, like, walked up to me and grabbed me and kissed me in the same spot where I had been kissed for the first time. And it started to rain as this happened. So it was just, like, the most dramatic. Like, he was, like, trying to rewrite this memory for me. And then God was like, and I will throw some rain in there just to add to the effect. It was kind of
rounded out.
What is the most romantic thing anyone has done for you ever?
Yeah, see, it's hard because I don't have anything, like, any big grand romantic gestures to talk about here. Like, the thing that keeps coming to mind is silly, but, when I got my IUD inserted, it hurt so bad, like, the worst period cramps I'd ever had, and I could not get up off the couch. And my sir just, like, messaged me every, like, couple of hours to check in, and like, how you doing, you know, what can I do? Obviously, he doesn't live near me, so he, like, offered to order a pizza and have it delivered to my house, simply so I didn't have to walk into the kitchen to eat, because that felt too far away. He, like, was like, is there a way, like, I wish I could also have the pizza guy bring you heating pads? And, like, the simple nature of knowing that that's what a person with a uterus needs when they have cramps, because he's a cis dude. And, like, just that he knew that and cared enough to be like, these are the things you need, how can I get them to you? Felt really, really sweet. And, like, even the things he does now, so I have a really problematic relationship with food, and the stuff he does now, just like using our DS stuff to make sure I eat, because he, one of my protocols and tasks every day is to eat a certain amount of food and, like, update him on it. Mm-hmm. And that's not fun for him, I'm sure. Like, it's not fun for me, but also I need to not die. So just doing that kind of, like, caretaking stuff, and I don't know, that, like, showing he cares about me and stuff is, like, a really big thing. What about you?
So your tale of menstrual woes reminded me of a similarly romantic story I have, but this is about my friend who I sometimes fuck, not a romantic partner, but I did think this was a really sweet thing. One thing, he was over at my place one time, and we were watching a movie, and then I suddenly got, like, really, really bad menstrual cramps in the middle of the movie, and, like, we had to stop, and, like, I made some tea and, like, was trying to feel better, and, like, nothing was really making me feel better. And it was, like, that kind of pain where it was, like, so bad that I couldn't even think and, like, figure out what to do. So he was like, what about some weed? Would that help you? Which, like, yes, it does, but it had not occurred to me at all. So he, like, took me up to my room, put me in bed, brought me my weed stuff. I smoked a little bit. And then as I was, like, kind of relaxing and calming down, he started, like, making jokes and singing songs for me just to, like, kind of take my mind off it and make me think about other things. And he also, like, grabbed my rechargeable magic wand for me and, like, helped me, like, get it into place over the part that was hurting. And I just always remember that, like, I was trying to find, like, the right setting to ease the pain, and he started singing along with all the different pitches of, of the magic wand. And I found this so hilarious that it kind of, like, took my mind off the pain I was feeling and made me feel a lot better. And then he, like, tucked me in and went home, and it was adorable.
Yeah, and I think that's, like, that's the kind of stuff that's romantic. The kind of stuff that, like, shows they care about you and shows they know the ways to take care of you, and to do nice things for you. So much more than, like, here, I bought these flowers. It's like, cool.
Yeah.
Now I gotta find somewhere to put them and take care of them, and then they're gonna die.
Like, see, I actually like getting flowers. I don't know if that's, like, a femme thing, but I always do like when dudes take the time to figure out, or at least to theorize, what kind of flower I might like to get. So, like, I had a partner once who always would bring me blue roses or blue tulips, because blue is one of my favorite colors, and that was just, like, a really subtle, sweet way of personalizing that otherwise kind of generic gift to my specific taste.
I do like, so the thing I like about flowers is that, like, the idea of sending them to, you know, there's always the, in the rom-com, the person's at work and they get the flowers delivered to them or something like that, and I think I like the sentiment, again, of, like, I'm thinking about you when you're not here, like, so that, the kind of, like, surprise gift thing is really cool to me, but, like, flowers, I'm like, meh. I'd rather something more exciting.
Yeah. I had my friend with benefits who I was talking about earlier, who I was with for a year and a half in high school. We spent a couple Valentine's days together, and one of the Valentine's days I was sick at home in bed. Like, I took the day off school because I was not feeling well. And I had these cowboy boots that I wore, like, almost every day this particular year in high school. And at this point, like, I had worn them so much that the soles were starting to fall off. And she took them into the art room at our school and used a glue gun to attach the soles back on, which I'm sure is not how you're supposed to do that. But then she brought them to me in bed at my house, I think along with, like, some soup or some tea or something. And it was so sweet because it was, like, a Valentine's Day gift, but one that I very much specifically would appreciate as opposed to flowers or chocolate or whatever. I mean, I would have accepted flowers or chocolate, let's be real. But but it was, like, I totally lit up because I was so excited to be able to wear my beloved cowboy boots again. So that was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Also, one year for Valentine's Day, my boyfriend gave me a Pokemon game that I had been wanting, and then when I booted up the game, it was my 6 favorite Pokemon, and their nicknames were I Love You So Much, Kate. And aww. I died. I was like, oh my god, you win Best Boyfriend of the Whole History of the World Award. This is amazing.
That's adorable.
This week's episode of the Dildorks is sponsored by Spot of Delight, an independent, locally owned sex shop located in London, Ontario. Their whole thing is they're discreet, they're inclusive, and they only carry body-safe toys, which is amazing and fantastic. A++ would recommend. So we're going to talk about some toys from Spot of Delight that we would love to get as Valentine's Day gifts. I don't have a partner right now, so somehow I suspect I won't actually be receiving this, but...
Hey, put it out into the world. You never know.
Yeah, it's true. I might manifest one of these. It's fine. What I would really like to get is the Enjoy Pure Plug 2.0, because I have major butt ambitions. I have the medium Pure Plug and the large Pure Plug, and they are beautiful. They're made of stainless steel. They're truly the best butt plugs I own. I own a lot of butt toys, and I don't like most of them. But the Pure Plugs are just perfectly designed, and I want the 2.0 because it's fucking massive. It's like the size of my palm, practically. And I want to shove that in my butt. So
I love the 2.0 so much. I got it. My sir gave it to me last time I saw him, and it's just... so good.
See, it's the most romantic gift you could possibly give someone.
Exactly. Fill your butt and think of me.
What sexy gift would you like for Valentine's Day?
I want an Aslan Minx harness.
Good call. Yes.
For a couple of reasons. I don't... So the corseting on the back is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But... I really want a leather harness because I have a lot of leather feelings, and I also have a lot of feelings about strapping on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really awesome leather harness, which in and of itself is great, but it has a few other things about it that a lot of people don't always notice. So it comes free with the double up cuff, which is a piece of leather that holds the two straps together and basically creates a harness for another toy to be inside the wearer of the harness.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really cool. So you have one toy in the harness pointing up so that I can wear one toy in me while strapping on and fucking someone else, which is a thing that I would very much like to do. It also has 2 D-rings in the back,
mm-hmm,
that you can cuff someone to.
Oof.
Which means I can be cuffed into my own harness with a toy in me. So it's kind of chastity belt-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And then, be cuffed into my own harness and then have someone else fuck themselves on the cock that I have strapped on. Basically, I have a lot of feelings about this harness, and really want it.
Yeah, Aslan leather products are fantastic. And Spot of Delight carries a really broad range of them, like in a lot of different colors, which is amazing for people who like all their stuff to match.
I've never seen a store other than Aslan have this many different Aslan colors.
Yeah, they have all my favorite ones. I'm very pleased with the selection.
And some that I don't regularly see, like they have the Cherry Minx and the Black Minx, which are everywhere. But they also have a steampunk one.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Which is really cool. And they have the prince-colored Jaguar, which I also really love.
It's so gorgeous. It's like this dark bluey purple that's inspired by Prince. Oh, so pretty. So, if you want to buy something from Spot of Delight, which you should because they have an amazing selection, we have a coupon code for you. The code DILDORKS will get you 10% off your order. That's DILDORKS. And their website is spotofdelight.com. That's spotofdelight.com. They're also Spot of Delight on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can get free shipping if you spend over $49 in Canada, if you spend over $99 in the USA, or if you spend over $149 worldwide. So try some stuff from Spot of Delight. Fuck That and Fuck Yeah is our weekly segment where we tell you something we hate and something we love, and this week it's all about romance. Hey, Bex, what's your Fuck That?
My Fuck That is media depictions of romance, because, like, I mean, we've talked about this a little bit, but it just creates these really weird, unrealistic expectations and glorifies some super problematic and even abusive relationship styles.
Yeah.
And it's not great, brah, it's not great.
Yeah, if I never see Christian Grey's smug asshole face ever again, I'll be fine with that.
Yeah, yep, but also, TBH,
like, I'm kind of thinking about going to see the new Fifty Shades of Grey movie just, like, by myself. I wanted to go see it, actually, on Valentine's Day by myself, because I'm a fucking loser. But I thought it would be fun to just make fun of the movie and throw popcorn at the screen and stuff, but I don't know.
I won't give them my money. I will do that at home with a bunch of other people later. I will definitely see it. I mean, I'm a sex educator. I have to.
Yeah.
But, no, they can't have my money. What about you? What's your Fuck That?
My Fuck That is when romantic gestures go awry. This is truly the worst. When I was in high school, I had a crush on this boy. And I decided I was going to ask him out, but I didn't really know how to do that. And I thought that this, like, awkwardly grand gesture would be the way to do it. So I went to a photo booth and I made these little signs and I took pictures of myself with the sign so that the photo spelled out, "I like you, date?" question mark. And then I, like, bought a fancy chocolate bar and attached the photo booth strip to the chocolate bar. And I was going to give it to him. And then, like, the day before I had planned on giving it to him, I kind of chickened out and, like, got some intel, like, talking to him through Facebook Honesty Box, which is, like, subterfuge and weird, and but that was how we did it back then. And it was revealed to me anonymously that he was definitely not interested in me in that way. So I didn't end up actually following through on this thing. I stayed home that day from school that I was planning on giving it to him, and I ate the chocolate bar myself while crying in bed. And I still have the photo booth strips. They're on my wall, and they're kind of a reminder that I don't want to put all my hopes into a person like that ever again unless I have actual reason to believe that doing so might work out. What is your Fuck Yeah?
So my Fuck Yeah is thoughtful gift giving, because I love giving presents as a way to kind of demonstrate that I care about someone, but also that I know them. Mm-hmm. And, like, remembering things about them. Like, I had someone once who I kind of had a low-key crush on who said something in, like, November about wanting, like, an offhanded comment about wanting something. And I found it and I gave it to him, like, as a Christmas present. And he was, like, floored that I remembered it and that I went out and found one and everything. And that kind of thing is just so fun for me to be like, yeah, I pay attention and look at how happy you are. And it's just really satisfying for me to be able to do things like that for people.
Yeah, I like to keep files throughout the year, which is really nerdy, but, like, if someone I know who I'm close to mentions wanting a particular thing, sometimes I'll, like, make a note of that so that I can refer back to it later, and it really makes you seem super thoughtful and nice, mm-hmm. which is great.
What's your fuck yeah?
My fuck yeah is spending Valentine's Day with friends. I actually think some of the best Valentine's Days I've had in my life have been spent with, like, a group of equally single friends, because it just ends up being this, like, great celebration of platonic love. Like, I've had, like, fancy dinner parties where we dressed up really fancy and we made fancy meals together and just, like, laughed a lot and had a good time. And it really takes your mind off that whole pressure to be partnered on this day and just reminds you of the love that you're lucky enough to have in your life. Like, aww, the love of our listeners. That was a great segue. I'm very proud of me. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Dildorks. I hope that you've had a great Valentine's Day, and if you didn't, then I hope that tomorrow is better. We love you, even if nobody else does. I'm sorry, that was rude. I'm sure somebody loves you other than us. But even if not, we still love you. Oh my god, I'm just digging myself a hole.
Yeah. It's gone off the rails.
My name is Kate Sloan. I have a sex blog at girlyjuice.net. I have a journalism portfolio at katewritesaboutsex.com, which you should check out because I wrote a piece last week that came out on Teen Vogue, which I would love for you to read because I put a lot of work into it and it's pretty good, I think. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. Where is your stuff at, Bex?
I'm Bex. I am at Bex Talk Sex on Twitter and Instagram, and all of my writing is at BexTalkSex.com. Together, you and I are the Dildorks. We're at the Dildorks on Twitter and Instagram, and at thedildorks.com. You can also find us on all major podcasting apps, and if we're not on one you love, get at us and we will be. If you have any questions or comments that you want us to maybe answer or read out on the show, you can email us at thedildorks@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Thank you also to Protodome for letting us use his song I Want You in My Bedroom as our theme song. He is at protodome.bandcamp.com. And thank you to Amy Gardner at starboots_ on Twitter for our art. And thank you once again to Spot of Delight for sponsoring this episode of our show. You can buy stuff from them at spotofdelight.com. And don't forget to use that coupon code DILDORKS for 10% off your order. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life. Bye.
I definitely just, when averaging my stats, skipped a bad depression month and was like, that one didn't happen. Over the past 6 months, not including December. This is totally ethical. I'm Bex. I am a sex educator and a sex blogger.
Good one.
Let me try that again.
I do not have a partner, so I somehow suspect that no one is going to buy me the expensive and heavy and big purchase that I am. Oh my god, that just went off the rails.
It did, yeah. It got away from you. Yeah. Got away from me, yeah. That's a Doctor Who reference. You won't get it.